Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Well, families, and welcome to the show. I'm Crystal Niehoff, your host for this evening, and you're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. We're now in our 13th year. Can you believe it? Today is Monday, November 26, 2018, and this is episode 672.
Good evening. I'm your co-host, Debbie Cunningham. We have a very special show planned for you this evening with two exciting guests. During the second half of our show, Margie Kirst from Operation Homefront will join us to talk about the Military Child of the Year program. But first up is our special guest tonight, Mrs. Karen Pence, Second Lady of the United States. In September 2018, Mrs. Pence launched an awareness campaign to elevate and encourage our nation's military spouses. As part of the campaign, Mrs. Pence educates military spouses about the available resources and opportunities to support spouses and their families. Connect with Mrs. Pence on social media, on Twitter at Second Lady, and on the website whitehouse.gov/people/Karen-Pence.
And if you're listening to our show live right now, we would love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter, comment on the show, and hang out with the AWN core team. Just head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use #ArmyWife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed and in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, First Command. First Command is committed to helping our nation's military families build a financial future worthy of their service. Visit their website at firstcommand.com to learn more. A direct link is also being posted in our Twitter feed and in the comment section below this podcast.
Well, it is an honor to have on the show with me tonight Mrs. Karen Pence, wife of Vice President Mike Pence. She is a mother, educator, and award-winning watercolor artist. As Second Lady of the United States, Mrs. Pence serves as an encourager to military service members and their families. She has hosted and participated in numerous events to honor and recognize individuals in the armed forces. Mrs. Pence earned a B.S. and M.S. in elementary education from Butler University in Indianapolis. She is a Blue Star mom with a son in the United States Marine Corps. Mrs. Pence and Vice President Mike Pence have been married since 1985 and are proud parents of their children, Michael and his wife Sarah, and daughters Charlotte and Audrey. Welcome to the show, Mrs. Pence. It's such an honor to be speaking with you this evening.
Thank you so much, Crystal. It's my honor to be with you tonight and all of your listeners.
Well, I know you're very busy, and so we so appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
My pleasure.
And since becoming our Second Lady of the United States, you really have become an encourager to military families. In fact, this past September, you launched an awareness campaign to elevate and encourage our nation's military spouses. Would you share with us more about this campaign?
Well, you know, what happened, Crystal, was I travel a lot with the Vice President, and whenever we would be at a base or a post, we would want to visit with our military service members, and I started visiting with the spouses. And I just started to realize they make a lot of sacrifices that I think common everyday people don't realize. And so I talked to my staff and I said, you know, I think I'd like to do something to elevate military spouses. Our service members, we are so grateful for, but we are also grateful for the spouses and the family members who serve really right alongside them. So we spent several months and we started going around to the different branches all over the country and some bases overseas. And we started listening to spouses because I didn't want to come in and say, oh, I know how to help military spouses. I'm not a military spouse. And so I don't understand everything that they go through. So we had several listening sessions, and we'd sit down with maybe 20 spouses, and we started to go around the table and ask them, if there's one thing that I could do while we're in office to help military spouses, what would that be? And we started kind of taking notes and tallying up, and I always was careful to tell the spouses, I don't know if we'll be able to get something, you know, specifically done for military spouses, but I do know that I can elevate the military spouse, and I do know that I can encourage the spouses. So we started kind of seeing what were their issues. And interestingly, one of the main things that came up was licensing and employment. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners understand that military spouses have to move very frequently. Every 2 or 3 years, military spouses have to pick up and move. And it's difficult to carry on a career when you have to move all the time. And added to that, if you have a career that requires licensing, then you have to get relicensed in your new duty station, which might require additional classes and additional fees. And so that seemed to be the main issue that came up, and just employment in general.
Oh, that's so true. It really is a challenge. You know, we have, every time we PCS to a new location, we have to reinvent ourselves, and licensing and employment is such a huge part of that.
And it really is. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I appreciate that you're really taking a part in trying to work with families in that, because it is so huge. In fact, there's been surveys where that is one of the number one concerns for military families is employment as we relocate to each duty station. So now, as part of your campaign, you work to educate military spouses about available resources and opportunities to spouses and their families. Would you tell us more about that and what you've learned?
Well, we started kind of researching, you know, what is out there. And we also wanted to work with the administration. And so a lot of spouses might not realize that in May, President Trump signed an executive order. And the goal of this order is to enhance opportunities for military spouses who are looking for employment in the federal government. So it directs agencies in the federal government to recommend new ways to improve license portability and to remove some of the barriers that military spouses have. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, you know, they have a foundation called Hiring Our Heroes, which I'm sure you've heard of, and they have a new campaign called Hiring 100,000 Military Spouses, and it's a 3-year campaign. It's a national call to action for companies and businesses of all types across America to make a commitment to military spouses. We also have the 2018 National Defense Authorization Act. And in that act, it asks requires actually the Department of Defense to implement a new policy that will reimburse the service members for relicensing and recertification costs up to $500 incurred by their spouses when they have a permanent change of station. I know for some licenses that doesn't cover it all, but it's a beginning. We also LinkedIn. That's a source that people might want to be aware of. They actually now have a free one-year upgrade to LinkedIn Premium, which helps them when they're out, you know, searching for employment. And I think the point that we'd like maybe companies all across America to understand is, in this day and age, with all the technology that we have, we should be able to hire our military spouses in a position that is portable when they move. They should be able to work from home or telecommute, or if it's a company that has branches or stores or whatever in the different locations, that they would be able to transfer. So we're trying to just make America more aware that, you know, we need to come alongside our military spouses.
Wow. These really are resources that I had not, many of them I had not heard about. And so that is really exciting. Are there, do you find that many military spouses have not heard of these opportunities and all the resources that we have available to us?
Well, you know, and things are changing all the time, and it's difficult to keep up. You know, when we go from post to post, we find, you know, as you all do, that each duty station is very different from the one you just left. And some, you know, we had a great conversation actually in Colorado Springs with the people who had designed on their base, who had designed their website. And they really had spouses help design the website so that it would be user-friendly, because these days we don't really have coffees or teas where military spouses all get together and share information for an hour or two each week. I mean, people are very busy, and people go to the internet. That's where they go for their information. And so it's important that we encourage each different base to keep the website updated so that spouses can find the information that they need, because a lot of times they don't have opportunities to get together with other spouses, especially if they don't live on the base. Now, one place that I think probably you all have heard of, which we were very excited when we found out about it, was Military OneSource. And it's like a one-stop shop to support military families with really just about any issue that you might have. It might be non-medical counseling, information for a new duty location, help for special needs children, elder care, tax help, financial counseling, maybe adoption consultation, and much, much more. But the great thing about Military OneSource is that they are available 24/7, 365 days a year. So you can go to the website and try and find what you're looking for. And if you're confused or you can't quite find what you need, they have online chat, and they also have phones that you can call. And I decided, when I heard about OneSource, I thought, I kind of want to go see this in action. And so we went to their call center, and we got to listen to a call with, you know, the information about the person redacted. And it was a young man who was really struggling. He'd just gone through a tough time, and he really felt like he needed some psychological counseling. And they tried to provide, within 3 days, within 3 miles of your home, 12 counseling sessions for free. And this is for any military member or member of their family. And I think sometimes we just don't realize how close help is. And, you know, being in the military is not easy. It's very challenging. It's a challenging profession for our service members. They go through a lot of stress. And Military OneSource is a place where they can call with complete confidentiality and say, I need help. I need somebody to help me. And they're there. But they're also there for the family members. And they're also, now they have added that they actually are available to service members and their families up to 1 year after separation from the military service. Because sometimes issues come up after you've left the service. Maybe you retire from the service and you're looking for a job, and maybe you're having some financial struggles. You can call them up to 1 year from when you leave service and have these resources for free. And I think, you know, really we want spouses to know there are resources out there. And the more we talk and the more we do shows like yours, your podcast, the more we just let people know there are a lot of resources out there, and we want to come alongside our spouses.
Oh, that's so true. And you have really spoken to a lot of people and with a lot of military families since you became our second lady. Do you have a story or two from your work with military families that is particularly special to you that you could share with us?
Well, I just think really we want our spouses to understand that we stand with them 110%. You know, they are the backbone of our military. If a spouse and a family is content and happy in the military, the longer our military members are going to stay in service, and that's what we want. So we want them to know they contribute to the readiness of our armed forces directly. They directly contribute to it. And just, I know you have to get your next guest on, but I will tell you one of the stories that I had was a spouse at Fort Detrick. She said, deployments are hard, but homecomings are great. And she said when her husband returns home, she said she gets butterflies just like when she first started dating him. And she said, I get a chance at another first kiss.
Oh, that's so I love that.
That's Isn't that sweet?
That's so sweet. Yes. And I know that you're busy and that you have to go, but over the holidays, many military families are separated from loved ones due to deployments and overseas assignments and many other factors. Do you have some encouragement for us at this time of year or something that's on your heart that you would like to share with our listeners this Christmas season?
Well, I think we just want our military families to know that we stand with you, you know, 110%. And we are grateful. And I think the more we can elevate our spouses, you know, so many of our spouses, they're being single moms and single dads while their loved one is serving. And that's more difficult than people realize. And we appreciate them, and we're so grateful. And this holiday season, we do give thanks for our military. I'm actually going to be making some comfort kits for deployed soldiers with the First Lady tomorrow. And we're trying to do what we can to elevate these families and to let them know we really care. So from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of a grateful, grateful nation, we want your listeners to know we appreciate them. We hope they have a very Merry Christmas.
Well, Mrs. Pence, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know it's very hectic, but we just want to extend our appreciation to you for what you're doing for military families and that you've really taken this on. And I just pray that God will richly bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Listeners, stay tuned. Up next is our News 6 Wendy with your need to know news. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Ready.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Here in the United States, our freedom and safety are made possible through the service and sacrifice of our military, first responders, and their families. The Gary Sinise Foundation shows its gratitude through concerts and festivals at bases around the globe, community outreach programs across the country, and building brand new custom smart homes for our most severely wounded veterans. Find out how you can join the cause. Donate at GarySiniseFoundation.org.
News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Wendy on the line bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Wendy, what have you got for us this week?
Hi. On November 14th, the USO put together an amazing lineup of speakers to highlight the challenges, the strengths, and the achievements of the military spouse community in their Salute to Military Spouses Summit in Washington, D.C. Individuals like myself, who were unable to travel to D.C., attended via live stream on the USO's Facebook page. It was truly empowering.
Sounds like it was a great experience. Who were some of the speakers in attendance?
There were too many speakers to name them all in this segment, but here are some of the most notable guests. Military spouse and family advocate Ellen Dunford, Brittany Bacher, the 2017 AFI Military Spouse of the Year, Chris Marvin, who was the lead researcher for the Backbone of Our Military Report. On the panel, using technology to tackle the high unemployment rate of military spouses was Jacqueline Klima, Politico's national security reporter, Chris Cortez with Microsoft's military affairs, Liza Rodewald, CEO and founder of MadSkills, and Eddie Mintzer, who is the associate director for Child, Youth, and Families, Office of the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, and the number one New York Times bestselling author of Girl, Wash Your Face, Rachel Hollis, brought closing remarks.
Oh, wow. That really is a great lineup, Wendy. Can you maybe share with us some of the takeaways from this awesome lineup of speakers?
There were so many. It's hard to just pick a few, but here goes. Chris Marvin, the lead researcher for the Backbone of Our Military, presented three themes of importance to military spouses in the findings of the extensive qualitative research process. These three things included, number one, identity and sense of purpose. Number two, trusted networks and support systems. And number three, agency and the ability to plan. You can find the full report and those findings at uso.org/campaign/MilSpouseSalute. By clicking on the large red button on that page, it's going to state download the Military Spouse Report snapshot, and you can see everything in depth there. Microsoft and Google also spoke about their training programs for military spouses and veterans to help them gain a competitive edge in the tech industry. You can find more information about these programs at military.microsoft.com and grow.google/programs/veterans-commitment/.
This is truly valuable information, Wendy. I'm curious about the closing remarks from Rachel Hollis. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Number one New York Times bestselling author of Girl, Wash Your Face, Rachel Hollis, brought enthusiasm at the closing remarks and made several great statements pertaining to the military spouse community. First, she stated that you have control over two things in life, attitude and effort. She went on to say that you cannot care for other people if you cannot take care of yourself. Here she elaborated on the importance of self-care and that fun needs to be a part of your weekly plan. Rachel encouraged everyone to find something to be excited about before getting out of bed every day.
These really are all very relatable and actionable items for military spouses. And what a great summit with such important information and inspiration for the Mill Spouse community. Wendy, how can our listeners find out more?
Yes, it truly was a wonderful day provided by the USO. And the listeners can go to uso.org/campaign/MillSpouseSalute for more information.
Thank you, Wendy, for bringing us this applicable and informative news story from the USO Salute to Military Spouses Summit.
You bet.
Listeners, be sure to stay tuned. After this short break, Margie Kirst from Operation Homefront will join us to tell us about the Military Child of the Year program. We'll be right back.
You may not think of flu as a serious disease, but complications can lead to severe illness, hospitalization, and even death. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone 6 months and older get a flu vaccine every year. Vaccines are available at doctor's offices, pharmacies, and local health departments. Protect yourself and your loved ones this flu season. Get a flu shot today. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Hi, everyone. It's Jack Black coming to you from the set of Jumanji.
We have to save Jumanji.
Libraries and librarians transform lives every day through digital literacy, discovery, and lifelong learning.
Let's go, people.
Yes!
There's no puzzle too tough or challenge too great.
We can help each other.
For your librarian, find the clues to solve your next quest at the library.
A message from the American Library Association's Libraries Transform campaign and Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff, and I'm joined now by my co-host, Debbie Cunningham. Also joining us is Margie Kirst. Margie oversees a development team that is responsible for creating vibrant engagement and connection between generous donors and the military families supported by Operation Homefront. Margie has 25 years experience in marketing and communications for global, private, and nonprofit organizations, and joined Operation Homefront in June 2015.
Margie previously served as Vice President of Marketing at the USO and has also directed fundraising, marketing, and communications initiatives for the Autism Society of America, the International Foundation for Electoral Systems, SOSIMER International, and Price Waterhouse. Margie has a Master of Arts from Johns Hopkins University and a Bachelor of Arts from Trinity College in Washington, D.C. She is an extremely proud military family member as the wife of a former U.S. Army officer, the daughter of dual service U.S. Navy parents, and the sister of two Army reservists. Welcome to the show, Margie.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here tonight with both of you.
Well, we're very happy to have you. So to start off, can you tell us what is Operation Homefront?
Sure. Operation Homefront is a nonprofit, and our mission is to build strong, stable, and secure military families. And we do this so that they can thrive, not struggle to get by in the communities, such as our communities, that they've worked so hard to protect. So there's three ways we help, and we focus on the young enlisted and the transitioning veteran population. And we help them with critical financial assistance grants, transitional and permanent housing needs, and recurring events throughout the year like the Military Child of the Year program to let our families shine and know that America supports them.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't with so much going on with Operation Homefront. So can you dive a bit more into the Military Child of the Year program and, like, who's eligible to participate?
Absolutely, and thanks for letting us talk about it, because I just simply love this program. So the Military Child of the Year is the nation's premier celebration of the achievements of our military children. Who's eligible? Children who are legal dependents of a service member or a military retiree from each branch of service. And I also always want to highlight that includes the Coast Guard and the National Guard. Those are the kids that are eligible.
And so are there specific age requirements for them?
We do have age requirements. It is ages 13 to 18, and you have to be nominated when you're 18. So if you turn 19 when you win the award, as long as you were nominated when you were 18, that's good for us.
Okay. And with that, so the child's parents, do they have to be on active duty with the military, or are children of veterans eligible to enter an application?
So essentially anyone who has a DEERS card, and I know this audience understands that, can apply.
Mm-hmm.
So that's active
yeah.
duty reserve. Yeah, I speak to a lot of audiences, but this one will understand that.
Did we lose Debbie?
I don't know. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
you've got Margie
okay.
here. Yeah.
Well, oh, my goodness. Margie, I apologize for that. Sometimes technology, when we're working, I'm in Hawaii and she's at Fort Bragg, and so we're kind of all over the country. So,
no worries. Understand that. It's a daily occurrence.
Must the child's parents have, do they need to be active duty? Are children of veterans still eligible?
So active duty, reserves, National Guard, and children of military retirees are eligible. So anybody who has a DEERS card. But children of veterans at writ large are not. But certainly we have a great community in the eligible pool.
Awesome. And how many awards does this program provide? Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about each of those awards, too, if you wouldn't mind.
Love to. So we have 7 awards for outstanding children, and they are Army Child of the Year, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, National Guard. And the 7th award is what we call an Innovation Award. That award, which actually is sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton, is given to an eligible military child who has a business concept that they want to change the world with. So it's a very fun award as well. But we definitely represent awards from each service branch.
Wow. So you an award for each of the service branches, and then all the children from each of the branches is eligible for that 7th award as well?
That's correct. So, for example, if you you know, are nominated for Army Child of the Year, in addition to all the other things that make you eligible for that award, if you'd like to also be nominated for the Innovation Award, because you have a really neat business concept that, for example, last year, one young girl who was a Marine child, she applied for the Innovation Award, and she has a wonderful concept to come up with something that would replace an EpiPen. So for kids who have allergies, it would be a really kind of nice-looking, socially acceptable patch that you wear that you could basically inject as you got the allergic reaction. It was quite something. So those are the kind of kids that we look for to be nominated for the Innovation Award, real change-the-world people.
That's amazing. And you don't think of that type, you know, usually we think of kids, oh, they're just, you know, great kids, they're really nice, you know, they're resilient. But we don't think that they're really the generation that's coming up with all the new technology and the new inventions, and that is amazing. So what are the benefits of winning the Military Child of the Year Award?
So there's tangible benefits, and then, of course, as you and I know, there's the real pride point benefits. So the tangible benefits are a $10,000 financial grant, The awardees get a laptop and a trip to D.C. They come to D.C. We pay for them and two guests to come, and we take them around the city, introduce them to congressmen, you know, see sites, and then we have a gala on April 18th. So those are the tangibles. The intangibles, however, are even better, I think. It's the honor of being recognized as the Outstanding Military Child of the Year per service branch for the rest of your life. But it's also the night of the gala. The service chiefs attend. And so it's sitting there hearing, for example, the Army Chief of Staff talk about you as a military child, the Army Military Child of the Year, and your accomplishments and your family. And then all the chiefs actually sit at the table and spend the evening having dinner with the children and their families, and they spend wonderful quality time. Even the chairman of the Joint Chiefs or his wife, Mrs. Dunford, shows up. And so it's really, really just amazing for these kids. But I think the thing we hear the most from the kids about why this award matters so much to them is they see this honor as a way to thank their parent who served and a showcase to the rest of us in America that despite challenges, they have thrived thanks to their parent's service, not despite their parent's service. And we just see that as the true benefit of this amazing program.
Oh, that is so neat. You know, and sometimes I feel that, my own children have kind of expressed that they feel a little bit invisible as military children. And I think that it's amazing that this award is out there where these kids can be recognized for the great things that they're doing in such a big way.
Absolutely. And we do a lot. The kids, we do media tours with them, between the media and our sponsors. They are just so taken with these kids, and we tell their stories, and then we continue to tell their stories. We're in our 10th year, and we have this wonderful, as you can imagine, little alumni network now of McCoy winners, we call them, who are already out there changing the world. Like you said, I have so much faith in this generation, and then you put a military child out there, they're just taken off.
Oh, that's inspirational. Even as an adult, that inspires me to do more. Well, Margie, we do need to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about some of the criteria that's required for submitting an application for this award.
Sounds great.
And listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation, ask questions of our guest by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use #ArmyWife to participate. You can find links to everything we've talked about on the show tonight in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com and in our Twitter feed. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Three ways to trim the fat from your monthly bills. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Modern life is full of monthly fees. Here are three areas where you can trim the fat from your monthly bills. Your cell phone. Closely review your monthly cell phone bill and current billing plan. You may be paying too much or paying for more minutes or text messaging charges than necessary. Also, lose the unnecessary ringtone and wallpaper downloads. Random services. 30-day trials are an easy way for companies to rope you into paying a monthly fee. For example, credit monitoring, software downloads, and members-only websites. Look closely at your bank statement for monthly charges you can't identify. Gym memberships. If you're feeling guilty for not using it, kill two birds with one stone and cancel that membership. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Via Army Wife Network.
ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available.
Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship
or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Margie Kirst from Operation Homefront. And before we went to break, Margie was explaining to us the benefits of winning the Military Child of the Year award. And before we, Margie, before we hop into the next question, I had asked you some of the criteria to explain some of that to us. I have a question from one of our listeners who's wondering, they have not heard of the Military Child of the Year award before, and we're wondering, they're really inspired by some of the stories you told about the kids. How can they help get the word out about this award?
Oh, I love that question. So honestly, if they have Facebook, if they do Twitter, anything like that, push it out or tell your friends or in, you know, I know there's some great Facebook groups for Army Wives and Navy Wives. Just start talking about it because it is a wonderful program. And like you said, it's a great way to showcase to America our amazing military kids. And, of course, there's our website for more information, militarychildoftheyear.org. They can go to and send that link around.
Awesome. Great. And thank you for answering that. I wanted to get that asked before that slipped my mind. And I also want to say, in case anybody heard it in the background, I happen to live near headquarters and the cannons are going off. So I'm not sure if there's a ceremony in the parade field or what. Everything's fine here, but we live near the parade field, so.
Well, and I'm living in the Washington, D.C. area, so some Blackhawks flew overhead, and I had to mute at one point, too. So we're in the same boat, just different areas.
Oh, life in the military. It's fun. So, Margie, before we went to break, I'd asked you to explain to us and some of the criteria or any special format required for submitting an application.
Sure. So children must be nominated and by an adult, but it can be really any adult in their life. It can be a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a chaplain, you know, someone on base that, you know, that has been a mentor. But the nominations must be filled out online. We have an online application at militarychildoftheyear.org. And then the only other thing we sort of require is that they be able to travel to our gala at our expense in April. So we don't have specific criteria. We don't talk, you know, grades and GPA, but some of the things our judges look for in the winners in the past are things like number of volunteer hours, how many months the parents have been deployed, how many duty station changes they've gone through, any other challenges. Last year we had an awardee who was a caregiver for a parent with cancer. This was not the parent serving, this was the other parent. So we look at children like that. It's what have they tried to achieve? What are they desiring to achieve within the context of their military lives? So they are volunteers and they are independent of our staff. So we definitely have an independent jury, and they come from our military communities and our donor communities. It's sort of a cross section of volunteers. And we have two types. We have the readers, and readers review all submissions, and then they select the semifinalists. At that point, then our judges review the semifinalists to come up with their final award recipients. And we do that because the nominations are very rich, and they have a lot going on, so we don't want to tire out our wonderful volunteers who help us choose these awardees.
It sounds like a little bit of a crazy process, but like you guys have it all nailed down. Is there an interview required for the competition for the kids?
So if you make the semifinalist stage, then you are interviewed by phone by our independent volunteers.
And what kind of interview? Is there like just a general question they have to do? Is there anything that makes them stand out in these interviews?
So usually there's probably something that the readers have found that does stand out, that they want to explore a little bit more. You know, for example, whether it's a challenge with health and how they overcame it, or in their volunteer hours, very likely they'll ask a few more details about, you know, why they did that, what inspires them, passion points. So those are the kind of conversations that we have by phone. We also, you know, we do a background check, not full, but we do that just to make sure that the nominee is who they say they are.
of course.
Yeah.
So what also the deadline for submitting your application? Because I know you said it's done in the spring.
So the awards are in the spring, but the deadline is December 5th, and it's only 10 days away. So please, listeners, nominate today. You know, it's coming around the corner. And I think, Debbie, as you said, because we get, you know, some great submissions, the, you know, the judging process takes a while. So that's why we close December 5th. We tend to announce the finalists around late February. And then so they do know and they can plan for the April gala.
Awesome. When the kids get invited, is it like just them and their one parent? Does the whole family get to come to D.C.? Are they there for like a week, or how does that work?
Great question. So the gala itself, which is the program where we announce it, and it's so wonderful. We have a wonderful MC who is a Carnival Cruise Line cruise director. We've had young talent from The Voice in the past. So it's quite a night in addition to the awardees. And that is April 18th, which is a Thursday, in Arlington, Virginia. We're right by the Pentagon at a hotel there. Every McCoy winner and two guests are paid for, all expenses paid, to come out to Washington, D.C. They tend to arrive 2 days prior, like the 16th, and leave on the 19th in this year. But we do, I will tell you that while we pay for three, every year we have families bring a lot of folks. We've seen anywhere upwards from, I think our largest group was 12 family members accompanied them. And sometimes that was because they were down in Fort Bragg and they all drove up. But and we welcome that. And definitely there's always a seat at the table. And they join the kids on congressional visits and tours of D.C. But we just pay for the hotel and airfare or, you know, however they're getting there for three of them.
Awesome. And, go ahead.
Hey, Debbie, do you mind if I jump in with a couple of questions before we let Margie go?
Sure.
I have one of the listeners was wondering if, let me find the question again. What
sure.
led you to be part of Operation Homefront and the Military Child of the Year Award?
So the reason I joined Operation Homefront is our CEO, John Prey. I worked for him at the USO. He's a retired Air Force general and a great guy, so he invited me to come on over, and I did, and I'm thrilled because, as you noted in my bio, I'm a military family member. So it was a passion point very close to my heart. And then when I got to Operation Homefront, they were the ones that started the Military Child of the Year, so I just automatically got to be part of that. And, you know, it's been really fun because, like you said, it's exciting. And we have sponsors like United Technologies, Microsoft, and Procter & Gamble, and they are all in, and they help us make this wonderful week come to life for our lovely and, frankly, inspirational kids.
Awesome. I'm glad you mentioned that because one of our questions was, how is this funded? So thank you for that. And then also, if someone is on the fence, they're wanting to know, what would you say would convince them to nominate a child for this award?
That's a great question. I think, you know, if you're considering nominating someone and you know that they're special, meaning, you know what, they're curious and they want to give back to their communities. And somehow they keep going towards their dream, no matter, you know, what's going on in their life. Go ahead and nominate them because, again, we have this wonderful independent jury of judges and readers, and you never know what might pop for them. As I mentioned before, the dedication to volunteering and helping communities, that's a real great thread we look at. So if the person you're considering has that, I'd say go for it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And then one last question. They want to know, do you stay connected with the kids who have been awarded the Military Child of the Year? And, you know, do you kind of follow them or do you ever hear back from them?
Yes, yes, and yes. We absolutely stay connected. You know, we call them trying to come up with a really cool name, like it's something better than alumni, right? And so our kids, our graduates who have been there are helping us with that. we every year we have kind of, now we're 10 years in, right? So we have a young alumni table. It was so exciting. We had last year, we're two gentlemen who had won 2 or 3 years before. It was the Army Child of the Year and the Navy Child of the Year. They came back. They pay, of course, they pay for their own travel, but we get, again, host them for the night, which is exciting. And they help us out that night. They help bring the awardees up to the stage. It's really fun. But these two gentlemen both went to Yale on an ROTC scholarship. They didn't know that. Like, they were both together the night of the award. They ended up seeing each other on Yale's campus. They ended up rooming together and going to study abroad in London together. And they came back and they're like, we're like the best friends. So not only do we keep in contact with them, they keep the, each class keeps in contact with each other. It's just so cute. It's wonderful.
Oh, love that. I love that.
That's awesome.
We get very excited, as you can tell by my voice, seeing them come back.
That would be great to have them on the show sometime, if that would be possible. I would love to hear their stories.
Absolutely. We've got a list, and they're always eager to talk about not only the award, but more importantly, they want to talk about their parents and their experience as a military child, so we can hook you up. It'd be great.
Fantastic.
That's awesome. So I know the deadline's coming up for the applications. How do we find out more information about the Military Child of the Year program so we can put it out to our listeners and everybody out there?
Great. So you can go to www.militarychildoftheyear.org. You can Google Operation Homefront, and we've got it on the front page of our website. We have a little carousel that always shows up. And then, you know, you can also go to our Facebook or Twitter accounts, and we've got all the information up there. And we've got a FAQ and lots of information. So please do think about, for your audiences, who you'd want to nominate this year, because it's a wonderful honor.
That's just great information. I'm excited to see how that's going to turn out and look forward to seeing that happen in spring. Thank you, Margie, for joining us this evening and sharing about Operation Homefront and the Military Child of the Year program.
Thank you. It was super fun. Thanks so much, Crystal and Debbie.
Thanks so much. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
And listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week, Monday, December 3rd, 2018, when we will have two great guests joining us. Learn what financial resolutions to make for 2019 with guest Katie Stevick from First Command. And then author Suzanne Gordon joins us to discuss her new book, Wounds of War, How the VA Delivers Health, Healing, and Hope to the Nation's Veterans. It's going to be another encouraging and empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
And in the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
And a reminder that tonight's show was brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, First Command. First Command is committed to helping our nation's military families build a financial future worthy of their service. Visit their website at firstcommand.com to learn more. A direct link is also being posted in our Twitter feed and in the comments section below this podcast.
Army Wife Network is your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Have a great week.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.